If I viewed that video once, I viewed it 10 times this week. And every time I watched it, a wellspring came up within me of the goodness of God in the way that He created and formed us. He is the potter. Those hands in the clay. Oh, don't resist the potter in what He is doing in your life. He's trying to take you from mere mortal clay. And through His industry, through His creativity, turn you into something not only useful, but beautiful and kingdom-oriented. I am so thankful that we have only one day, but every day set aside to believe and to stand for the weak and for the ones that have no voice. And I'm thankful that today is a day that we remember the sanctity of life. I'm so blessed in so many of our families that have had difficulty at one time or another having children and seeing fruitfulness come forth in their lives. That's a blessing of the Lord upon our lives that allows us to be able to have children in our lives, raise children in our lives, adopt children into our lives, and serve those little ones and teach them the love of God. The love of God. Now, before I get started this morning, Sharon, you might want to put that, go ahead and put it up. But before I get started this morning, I have to tell you a little bit of destiny that I'm sensing this morning. This morning is a sort of a little eye-opening day for me in a way that many years ago when I saw the vision of the tree of life, and I saw that it was above the ground and below the ground, and that there were five roots under the ground, Holy Spirit told me immediately that those five roots were apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. The gifted, the doma gifted people. They're not enablements. They are people that are gifted within the body of Christ. And He began to unfold to me that the church that He wants to build, the church that is representative of Him, is a church where the plurality of those leadership gifts all function together non-competitively, complementing one another, adding to. And so that in the Hebrew model, many times you would find described in Scripture, but in other places also, that when they would gather together and they would enjoy fellowship with one another and have a meal and celebrate their salvation in Christ, there would be multiple voices that would have something to contribute to the edification of the gathered group in that house church. And I've believed it since I saw this vision, that God wants to bring that model increasingly into the church of God so that there's plurality of not only leadership but voices, and that there are times where they're complimenting Him on a Sunday morning together. And we got a smidgen of that this morning with prophetic words, with teaching and the Word of God that's going to come and the encouragement that we got in our worship time. It is a plurality of God's expression through gifted people and people who are gifts to edify us and to cause us to grow. I'm looking for those rains. How about you? I want to see them begin to bring those seedlings through the ground and up. In that video that I just showed you, it says that the reason that God wants us to value life is so that we can grow up and live our lives and act in a wise manner. The Scripture tells us in Psalms 139 this. It certainly does. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I put in, in your image. That's part of the fearfulness and the wonderfulness of God creating us. Scripture says that we were made in their image. It was a plural expression. And that we're made in the image of God. And marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. I'm convinced that there are people that have seeds that are in their lives that we heard about this morning. They know the seeds are in there, but they are fearful to allow them to come forth. Chris, I keep referring to Chris Vallotton. He sends out a blog every week. And today's blog is about, I just read it this morning, is about the fact that the most socially acceptable sin in the body of Christ is fear. That fearfulness is somehow a reason for us not to cooperate with God. We heard a testimony this morning from Lou Ann that, I mean, she was fearful. And it's okay to have a sense of trepidation about what God is calling you to do, but it's not okay to live in that and let that dictate to you. God wants to release more in you and more in me than he ever has before. And that we ought not to rest on status quo, antebellum, just same things, different day. We need to grow. And so this morning I'd like to talk to you about the importance, the utter importance of choosing our words wisely. I'm sharing this message, although I speak about it in various forms and fashion all throughout the year. I'm sharing it because I believe that still many, many people yet don't understand the power, the creative power that they have in their words, and because they don't understand it, they don't use them wisely. And as a result of that, they inflict havoc on their own lives and on the lives of others because they do not understand completely what God's Word says about what it means to be created in God's image. The Bible says where there is no vision, and I put this in, no redemptive revelation of who God is. I'm not talking about seeing with the natural eye. We're talking about having a spiritual grip on who God our Father really is. The more we get to know Him, the more the love that He has for us dispels fear. The more that we grow in our confidence, in our vision, an understanding of who He is, the more that fear goes out of our lives. But people who have no understanding of who God is and how much He loves them, they are the people that are perishing even while they are living. They are living at a far lesser level of God's provision and God's blessing and God's favor than they could if they had a revelation of who He is. Now, one of the things we want to get today is that an understanding that there is supernatural power in the words that you speak. Supernatural power. And learning this truth as we learn it, it'll help us keep in a condition of peace. The more we know about the formative, creative power of our words, the more that it will form and create peace in our lives as we learn to use those words wisely. We have this because it's part of the provision of Christ. Proverbs 20:15 says, "Wise words are more valuable than much gold and many rubies." You know, I'm a pastor. I sit with a lot of couples going through difficult times in their marriage. The common denominator is words not wisely spoken. Words used as weapons instead of healing balm. Words of defensiveness. Words of declaring and accusing. You see, this is not the way the people of God are to conduct themselves with their words. They're to use them like God used them to create beauty, to create encouragement, to create a release, to call forth good things in people's lives. I love your testimony, Lou Ann, in which you pointed out three different instances where God intervened, okay? And he was long-suffering because of you, when I talked to you, it was over a year ago. But then he comes back and he reminds, and he brings another and he reminds. Leadership is always to call forth that which God is doing in your life. But I do want to give you a little correction. It says out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, let a thing be established. Okay, that third one was a little extra. Okay, but let the things be established as God gives us bearing witness in our lives through two witnesses. But the choice is ours. It says the wise words are more valuable than much gold and many rubies, but the choice rests with us. But the word is very near you. Now I want you to notice early in the message, I'm giving you this word from the Old Testament, okay? Because it's also going to connect to the very end of the message. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth. And in your heart, those are some of the seeds that you were talking about. There are things in our heart that God wants us to begin to declare and bring out and creatively form. That you may do it. And God says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose. We get to choose this. Choose life. That both you and your descendants may live. That is a primary verse in my life because I'm a talker, I'm a communicator, and for that reason I have to know that I can either use it as a healing, creative balm from God, or I can weaponize it and use it for evil. But the thing that arrests my attention mostly is that my descendants will be affected by it. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love my great-grandchildren. I know I don't have any yet, but I love them already. Because you see, they're already in the Father. He already knows them. He already knows who they are and what they look like, and they're going to look like me. Well, you know, we may have a vote on that. But that is the power for me, is that I know that I have choices I can make right now that are going to influence generations after me. And I want to make sure that before God Almighty, that I surrender myself and my tongue, which is an unruly evil. The scripture says, I want to bring it into conformation with the creative image of God. So, choose to declare creative words of life wisely. Make that choice. Isaiah says something that tells us about ourselves. You will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You know, generally what you're thinking about, what you're fixing your thoughts to, you will ultimately say. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? We need to know those are fundamental components of who we are and why we are the way we are. Because out of the abundance of our heart, we declare curses, blessings. Sometimes we don't even know what we're doing when we're saying it. We can be prophesying some end in our life, something that's going to happen because we're just reporting what we're feeling in the natural. And we'll talk about that, how important it is that we make these correct assertions. What we think about will often come out of our mouth. Now, Jesus rose. Well, let me show you the scripture on that. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, now listen, hear the repetition, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together, and he made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that this scripture says that we are in Christ. As much as our sins were on him on the cross, Our sicknesses and diseases were carried to the cross in his deformed manner because of the beatings that he took. As much as all of that was on the cross, in his resurrection, we are in him in the presence of God, seated in the seat of authority, given rightful divine authority. And that is creative authority that we have in our own words. We're seated. Our words carry supernatural power. We have a life-giving creative power, and it sets things into motion for the future. And there are implications for your family. Improved health, restored relationships, increased provision, renewed youthfulness. Hey, I can use a little of that. I don't want to get a tuck with a knife. I want to get a firmer tuck, if you will, from God's word effectively working in my life. Now, I also understand the scripture says and that as the outer man decays, the inner man is renewed. I want to tell you something. When your inner man who's being renewed is looking out your face, you always look younger. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it glows. You know, demons, when they see a Christian who knows who they are, they have a phrase for them. The bright ones. The illuminated ones. They can see Christ in you, the hope of glory. They can see it. And you can see people that don't have that revelation too, okay? Because they wear the weight of the world, the worry, the anxiety, and the stress. And so there is no limit to the grace and goodness of God through Christ Jesus, but we not only must believe it, we not only must receive it, but we also must declare it. We have to say that it is so. Now, I want you to look at a teaching in Mark chapter 11, where Jesus was walking with the disciples, and he came upon a fig tree that should have had fruit on it, and it had no fruit on it. And Jesus declared a curse over that tree. And so the tree withered. And as a result of it, the disciples were, you know, they were sort of boggled by that whole thing. And so Jesus used the moment to instruct them on something very, very important that we need to get taught, the connection between our belief and our words. And so Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says," that's a verb, it's a verbal verb, "says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." There's something about repetition in the Word of God. When God's really trying to make a point with us, he will repeat himself. And I want you to know this. He only mentioned belief once, but he mentioned saying, declaring three times. That's how important it is. It's three times as important. Belief is important, but declaring what you believe is even more important in the way that we face life. And so, right believing is important, but it hand in hand with speaking words of faith. It has to go hand in hand with speaking words of faith. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, "I believed, and therefore I spoke. And we also believe and therefore speak." This passage teaches us something. That just believing something but not declaring it is leaving the equation of God's creativity unsolved. There is the creative. We're in his image. We're created like him. How did he create all the... Every time I do a wedding outdoors, I love to... except for on the rainy ones. I love to declare the beauty of the setting that we're in. and how God created it all with a spoken voice as He spoke it into existence. It wasn't, and then it was. And so we're created in that image, and things that aren't can be, but believing it is not the full answer. Declaring it is also the answer. You know, when Becky and I were growing up in the... we've been growing up for a long time, haven't we, honey? As far as I'm concerned, I'm still growing up, okay? Because the more I grow up, the more I grow up in Him. But when we were young believers, we were in a church, a Word of Faith church, and it was very important to our discipleship. It was putting foundational beliefs in us that we didn't have. And so it was hammering a lot of things into us that are still in us today, but because of growing up and becoming more wise in our understanding and getting even more revelation, we understand the balance of the approach of those words that were taught to us rather rigidly. And one of them was this: don't make a negative confession. And so what happens was, you know, you go to church on a Sunday morning and there's snot running down your face and your eyeballs look like you've been sticking them with your fingers all morning long. It's clear you can hardly breathe, and you walk in. Somebody says, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" "Well, I'm not feeling bad." Don't make a negative confession. Oh, my gosh. So what we did with it is, rather than do what God intends us to do, we just went into silence. So we just didn't make a negative confession. That's not enough. Just, we're called to declare. We're created from the very beginning with a voice. We are given the capacity of prophetically heralding things in our own future. And we need to be very careful and wise about the way we use these words, because sometimes the things that we're just saying incidentally, those words, they're out there. They do not return void or empty or without accomplishing that which is it was sent to do. I got to tell you, there's a lot of times that when I go and I've said this 100 times. If I didn't go to the doctor, I wouldn't know anything was ever wrong with me, because I expect to feel good when I get up in the morning. After I make the first couple steps to loosen up a little bit and get going, but I expect to have a good day. I expect God's provision, even if things are going in a direction I don't want it to have. But I really don't like and enjoy people speaking things over themselves that are injurious to their own walk and their own future. And we do it all the time. You see, the Word teaches us this principle that giving voice to what you believe strengthens your faith and anchors your heart in God's promises for your life. The more you speak it out, the more it becomes a reality. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith then cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If we're going to hear, somebody has to say. If we're going to hear, somebody's got to say. And you know what? The person you should hear saying the word of God effectively in your life the most is you. Is you. Do you know, before you ever hear my voice, I hear it in my sinuses. Before it ever comes out to you and goes whatever distance at the speed of sound, I'm hearing it. I was talking to someone this morning about the fact that I was so thankful that God has given me the opportunity to be a voice for the Word of God, for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the present day ministry of Holy Spirit, for the love of God, which is to be experienced in this present life. I'm so thankful to be a mouthpiece for that, because it maintenances my own life. It allows me to be healthier. It allows me to be happier. It allows me to be more expectant of good than anything other than that. So we're not only to speak to the situations, but we're also to speak to our soulish realm, the mind, will, and the emotions. David did this. David would speak to his own soul. He said, "Oh, my soul, why are you so downcast?" He's talking to the mind, the will, and the emotions. Not his eternal spirit. He's talking to the condition of his physicality and his mental condition. And he's from the spirit. He's saying, "What are you so downcast for? Put your hope in God. Look up. The goodness of God is available to you. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am healed. My body is growing stronger. I am whole in everything that He has done for me. I have found favor in God. Good things happen to me and through me. My sins are forgiven and my God unconditionally loves me." And when we declare this righteousness and this forgiveness and this healing and provision, it causes hope to rise up in us. Hope and faith and strength rises up within us. Isn't it good to know that you can change the condition of your day, not waiting for the condition you're in to change, but allowing the change come from within you on how you look at it, how you feel about it? Now, folks, I want you to understand, we're not at all advocating Christian denial where you just pretend things that are happening aren't happening. I'm just talking about God's intended purpose in the midst of those. You have a voice in it, and how you voice that determines our response to those challenges. How we unlock God's power in our circumstances, it will set the direction that we take. And before we move on to the final part of the message here this morning, I want to make one thing very, very clear. I want it clear enough that you can read it for yourself. Forgiveness, favor, health, provision, increase, wisdom, peace, every good gift has already been provided through the finished work of Christ. I want you to get that solidly inside of you. And then there's a whole nother dimension that we're going to begin to investigate and explore and experience this coming year. It is my assignment to work with our God, the potter, in our lives, that we come to a place where we enter into a greater understanding and experience of His rest, of how we don't have to strive, of how the war is over, of how the work is completed, and that we don't have to grunt anything up. It's already there for us. We believe it, we receive it, and we declare it as a reality in our lives. Our work as sons and daughters is to receive freely and speak them boldly by faith into our lives. For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes in Him. That means every promise that God ever made is already complete. It's a yes in Christ. It was finished. It's done. It's already positioned for us. For this reason, here we come into the equation. For this reason, we also utter the amen, which means so let it be done. The promise is complete in Christ, but it's not necessarily complete in us until we declare the promise and say amen ourselves. So let it be done. So let it be done. I am strong. I am healthy. I am whole. I'm well provided for. I enjoy a quality of life that's just a godly gift on a daily basis. These are the kind of declarations that we need to make. We ought not to neglect any opportunity to say words of faith and direction over the people that we love every day. It's not about striving. It's not about stomping. It's not about doing battle. Do you know the battle is not yours? Why do you why do you battle? If the battle is the Lord's, and He's already given us the victory, then that means we don't have to. Do you know how Jesus? You say, well, Pastor, I'll tell you later, Pastor, after the service is over, I'll point out this verse where it says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Well, how did Jesus resist the devil? He merely stated the word of God. It is written. It is written. Nowhere do I see Jesus going, oh, devil, 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 devil. I just see him saying, it is written. It is declared. This is the way it is. And he must flee. And he must flee. That's what God's word says to us about this. It's not about striving. It's not about that. Biblical examples. I want to give you a couple quick ones here. Let's look at Joshua. These are biblical examples of men of God speaking boldly what they have heard from God in faith. Now, the yellow part, I'm putting this in as a little introductory remark before the scripture. When Caleb was 85 years old, he declared, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. Come on, God, give me something to do. I'm not retiring. I'm only 85. I'm not going to sit on my laurels. Give me something to do. And so I can remember a time being in a conference down in Dallas, Texas, and it was a pastoral leadership group conference, big church down there. And so I'm sitting there, and we take a break at about after the first speaker, and the lights all come on. There's a couple thousand people there, and I'm looking around, and all these young ministers and youth leaders and pastors, and some of them got hair spiked, and some of them got hair colors, and some of them got tattoos all over them, and they all look very different from me, okay? I'd take any form of hair that you would add. But they're all, and I'm feeling rather old looking around. And I remember what I did. I said, Lord, am I in the right place here today? And immediately Holy Spirit said these words. It was tangibly loud to me. He said, remember, I couldn't do much with Moses until he was 80. Read your Bible. Because much of what happened before he was 80 was Moses' flesh. It was Moses acting in his own behalf. And so we don't have, listen, 85 years old. Give me something to do. Let me put my hand to something. Joshua 6. Before a single stone had fallen from the walls of Jericho, Joshua commanded the people. This is all verbal. Shout! For the Lord has given you the city. And so there he acted in faith. He commanded them to shout. When facing Goliath, this is one of my favorite stories. When facing Goliath, David declared, I love David. David liked to declare things. He said, this day, I can see him, this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen? Listen, part of our reason for declaring and experiencing the victory of God is so that people that are watching our lives will know that there is a God. That there is a God in not only in Israel, but in the heavens. And He is our God. Hallelujah. We thank You. And we bless You, Lord. We love You. Each one of these stories, God did the work. God won the victory. The faith was demonstrated when they spoke out the words that God had told them to speak. And the same is true of you, and the same is true of me. Through powerful, unfailing, finished work of Christ, the victory has already been given to us. Our part is to simply receive the provision of Jesus by faith in His grace and speak it over our lives. Hang in here for a second with me. There it is. I received a prophetic word this week from someone in our congregation who's going through some battles and is learning more and more about how to put their confidence in God. And I'm going to find it here. And I'm a guy and I don't do multitasking well. But basically, they sent this to me and I want to read it to you. And this is what Holy Spirit said. Why would you wait for something to come upon you when it is already within you? You are not to wait for me to come upon you. You know that I am already in you. Therefore, what else would you need? Your access to peace, health, redemption, all the good things are not to be obtained, but experienced. They are well within you, never to be taken away. They are the children's bread. And so many of God's children struggle in life on a daily basis because they don't know the riches of God, the unsearchable depths of His love that already are in them as believers through Holy Spirit, or are available to them if they would surrender their lives to Him for salvation. As I said, our part is to simply receive the provision of Jesus by faith in His grace and speak it over our lives. No attempt to accomplish through self-effort. It's a matter of learning to rest. So remember, in conclusion here, remember, your words carry supernatural power. Choose them wisely. Remember that you're created in the image of God, and He created all that we see around us with His words, and we have a similar power. So speak life, speak faith, healing, provision over yourselves and those that you love. And it is so important that we do these things and remember them. Last week, during worship, someone walked up to me and handed me one of our offering envelopes with a prophetic word on it, okay? And I read it, as I always do, and I know I didn't sense any moment for it, but I do now. God's always ahead of us. And yet He's always our rear guard. God's always all things to us. It says, we have been given the same power to do for others what God does for us. And they goes on and it says, example, singing over. That's a demonstration of power. When you sing over someone, you're proclaiming over them. Okay? I mean, think about it for a moment. When you're singing over your children, you're not going to say, oh, my little child, your hair is going to fall out. You know, you sing good things over them, okay? You can sing. Somebody sang that song over me. But we sing good things. We declare good things. God says that I give you the power to do the very things that I have declared in the heavens. I have given them to you. A little P.S. in closing, salvation, we all agree, is the greatest miracle of all. Salvation. To come from darkness to immeasurable light. To come out of condemnation into acceptance and full emancipation and release in the body of Christ. It's the greatest of all miracles to give up our sin and to receive His righteousness. It's the greatest miracle. And listen, It happens when somebody believes in his heart and does what? Speaks with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look here. Look what Jesus, when the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write. Look what he quotes the Deuteronomy 30 that I read to you earlier. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. You will be saved. It is the greatest of all miracles. And if it happens this way, what other miracles could be happening in your life if you would learn how to confess and declare the goodness of God? Scripture says it this way. Believe, receive, speak out good things over your life, and then see it come to pass. Amen? All right, would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We thank you so much because you're still speaking to us even in these days, these last days. Thank you that Holy Spirit is pouring out His Spirit upon us and that we're continually growing in our understanding as we receive this morning. I pray in Jesus' name we receive a greater awareness, a greater capacity to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living and in our personal lives and in the lives of those that you have given us to influence. I thank you, Lord, that when we look at the people around them, we no longer see them in the flesh, that we see them by the Spirit. And as a result of it, we see that what God wants to accomplish in them, and then we declare it. Jesus, I am so convinced that you would go up on a hill and pray to your Father, and he would show you what he is doing so that you would join him in it the very next day, teaching, healing, setting the captives free, breaking the bread, and then ultimately laying down your life for all humanity. We are so humbled by your love for us, Father. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Speak it out to him. We bless you, Lord. We love you this morning. We declare your rulership over our whole lives and that you are not a tyrant. You are a loving ruler, one who blesses his disciples and his people. And we love you today. We praise you. In Jesus' name, bless the people. And release them this morning in a renewed understanding of your love and our assignment to speak life, to choose life, to impart life. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You always are.